Popcorn Junkies! It's been a busy old week for movies, what with Oppenheimer and Barbie, and so it's a tough job for whatever film is incoming the week after to make an impact. So this is the movie of this week, Talk To Me. Me and Maddie were invited to a preview screening of Talk To Me, a brand new Australian horror film. And as you said afterwards, you're beginning to discover you're a big Australian film fan.
Yeah, yeah. There's not been a single Australian horror film or film, that I haven't liked.
No, I mean, in recent years, we've had Baby Teeth, we've had the Ned Kelly Gang, many years ago, Babadook, which maybe was it a Kiwi film? Might have been New Zealand. What, interesting connection to Babadook.
Mm-hmm.
The two directors of this, Michael and Danny Filippo, who run a YouTube channel called Raka Raka. Apparently they do all sorts of kind of movie spoofs, and it's a YouTube channel. I'm going to go and check it out, but apparently they do lots of kind of skits and spin-offs and little mini kind of micro shorts and what have you. They were runners on the Babadook.
I
love that.
That's so cool.
It puts me in mind of how one of the Coen brothers, I can never remember which, I think Ethan, was the editor, literal editor, on the Evil Dead film.
And then obviously
So this is Talk To Me. What's the premise? The premise is it's like seances, but one level up, isn't it?
Yes. Well, we said it gave us similar vibes to... It gave us similar vibes to It Follows, in the sense that
yes.
It Follows is another horror film where there's kind of like this... kind of, you get haunted by these people that follow you, and it's transmitted through sex. But this film kind of is about, well, we said it's kind of like drug taking, isn't it? Where it's like all these teenagers wanting to get this quick hit out of something, and getting like addicted to it and keep doing it. And then obviously it all turns bad. But yeah, it's like they're like seances. They have this weird hand, basically mummified hand.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Mummified hand.
And you have to hold hands with it and say, talk to me. And then when they would say, like, talk to me, they would have, like, a random kind of fucked up looking dead person, like, you know, spirit. And it'll be just sat in front of them and nobody else can see it, only the person, like, holding the hand. And then they have to say, I let you in. And then basically what it is that they have the, like, soul of that spirit inside them, and they just look really weird, like, their eyes go huge. And they start talking as if they are... the spirit. It's terrifying to look at, but then for the person that's like possessed by them, it feels great, which I think is so much like drugs as well, because if you look at somebody that's off their face on something, it looks so terrifying and it looks like the worst thing ever. They look possessed. Then the person that's like in it comes out of it like, that was like the best feeling ever. And you know, so it very much is like we felt was playing on drugs.
I really do think that. I think it's I mean, we all know that NOS and nitrous oxide, is that it? Something I took at university way before I think it was even a thing, we just called them whippets, and it has that thing where it will give you a 20 second high. It's so short, but it freezes your brain. And for me, where I think this film's strength really lies is it's a really nifty twist on the whole seance going to the other side, chaining it to this sort of teenage young adult desire to get high.
Yeah, but also exactly, but to make it a thing that it's really enjoyable for the person going through it, because like horror films, it's always just like all horrible and just but I just thought it was really interesting that like for the person that's going through it, they're loving every second, and they say it feels like they're in like heaven, but it looks like the most grotesque thing ever. And there's like the rule that they can only, like, after 90 seconds they have to like get the hand off of them, otherwise they don't know what will happen. But
I love
we find
that detail.
Out.
I love that detail. I thought that was
get
a really clever detail right at the beginning, just to stress us all right out from the get-go. Now, you can't talk about this film without talking about the opening scene. The opening scene, I can't remember being in a cinema where I screamed out loud.
Jumped out of my skin.
You jumped, I jumped. The woman next to me was...
man next to me jumped out of my
skin. Gibbering wreck. It was a full screen in central London. Oh my God. And it was so cleverly done,
wasn't
it? Handheld camera at a party, following a guy in. There's someone in a room who's clearly off their head or done something. So you're thinking drugs again, aren't you? They come out, they try and kind of get them to come out.
And also the screening we were in, like, it was really loud.
Really loud.
Like, they had it whacked up, the volume, so it especially made us go...
And I did not expect what happened. No, in those, and so within the first 2 minutes, you've got a horror film do something that I haven't seen many do in recent years, which is, I have to say, The Evil Dead started very well with this, with the kind of scalping. But this one did something where I watched and I was like, oh my God, what the fuck is happening here? This is, it was so violent. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was, it really was.
So it was a really, really good opening. And then it does that classic thing that all horror films do, which is it sort of scares the shit out of you. And then it beds down and introduces you to the character.
And then you're
character.
Like on edge for all of the comfortable bits because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly. And again, it did that clever thing of it didn't immediately... We didn't know for quite a while what the consequences of that were until further
yeah,
into the film.
Yeah.
So then we follow Mia, who is the lead character in this film.
She is
Sophie
incredible.
Wilde. Wow.
She's incredible.
What an actress. And she was very good. She was sort of, her mother's died. She's lost her mum. She lives with just her dad. And the film sort of suggested that her mother's taken her own life with a drug overdose. And of course, she's drawn to this. She's heard about this. They see it on social media. Is that right? I thought it was quite effective at the beginning, the way in which we started to see on sort of social media apps and what have you, footage of people getting high and their eyes kind of, covering over in black. And...
Yeah, because there's like two people in their school that are the ones that like own this hand. So they like invite people around to their house and everybody tries it out. And yeah, the first time you see anything of it is like it's on Snapchat. They're like posting it like, oh. So our main character goes with her friend because they're like, is it real? Like,
yeah.
I want to see if it's real.
Yeah.
But personally, if my friends were posting stuff like that on their Snapchat story, I'd be like, what? The fuck is going on? I'm not going there.
But that's what I thought was so clever about it, because it did make it very attractive. You know, lots of horror films have to get over that really difficult hurdle of right down to whether someone goes down into the attic, goes up into the attic or goes down into the basement. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake, you wouldn't. You just wouldn't in the real world. And what I thought was really clever about this film was right at the beginning, whether you'd have to be quite a hedonistic teenager, for sure.
Yeah.
But lots are.
Yeah.
And I believed the fact that some of them wanted to do it. I also liked the fact that the other girl...
But it kind of gives you a wake-up call if you have friendship groups that do drugs or did drugs as a teenager. It kind of makes you go, fuck, is that like... what it looks like
to others.
That's
but interesting.
Are we just kind of normalized to it that we don't see it as being what the fuck is that? Because when I was seeing the film, I was like, what the hell? That is like so scary. But if I were to really think about it, if I saw a video of one of my friends like off their face, that should make me go, oh, that's
shocking enough, right?
You're going to be like, oh, I want to be at the party, you know? Yeah. So they did it really cleverly, I thought, with that.
And that's why I think it is, I don't know why I think it's, I mean, I'm sure there are lots of other drugs that also give you the equivalently very short high. I mean, I remember the time I took Nors, my then girlfriend, it was a very brief relationship, at college, first year, she stormed off. I think we probably split up off the back of it because she was just like, she was so angry at the stupidity. And she said, you didn't see you. That was her thing that she kept saying. You didn't see you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say with NOS. That's is especially like what they're suggesting is NOS, I think. Because first of all, the shortness of it. So wanting to do it over and over again because it's such a short high.
Yeah.
But then also how terrifying it can look sitting on the outskirts watching. Because like people are not, you know, your lips go blue, you go really pale, like you look like you're dead.
Yeah, it looks very fun.
So, you know, it's very clever the way that they do it.
And so Mia, without going into a blow-by-blow account, I mean, Mia is drawn into this because, of course, she's lost her mum and she, I guess, quite sweetly, she thinks this is a way to access...
She's kind of
mind.
On the outskirts as well of the group as
that's,
well.
That's
she's
right.
the weirdo. So she, again, it's kind of peer pressure where nobody's told her she has to do it, but she feels like she should in order to like...
Absolutely. And she's very much on the you're right. She is on the edge socially of the group. And she sees someone do it. And isn't it the young boy Riley? Isn't it who does it?
The younger brother of her best friend
who's a sensational little actor.
Really good.
Amazing, is amazing.
His face is...
felt for him so much because he was... too young. And it was that interesting, must be interesting for you as a sibling. I never had siblings, but you know, when you know that you are or you have the much younger kid that's seeing older kids do stuff, you're like, I want a bit of that. Want a bit of that. And so he was part of that. I thought he sensational young actor there. But Mia sees him act, and I think he accesses her mum, or her mum comes through him.
Oh, later. Yeah.
And so Mia is drawn into this. And I thought what was clever about Mia's character was she was driven by a really soulful, meaningful sort of sadness in her. And I'd only just thought about this recently, that the whole title, Talk to Me, which is obviously what they say to the dead, if you like, is also kind of a word, it's a phrase, isn't it? Almost a therapy phrase. Just talk to me. Tell me how you're feeling.
Yeah.
Let
me
in. And so I think it kind of almost plays with that whole sort of concept of this generation of therapy speak, getting in touch with something. So actually, you know, yes, there's the drug metaphor, but there's also the grief thing in there, which I thought added when it's... And obviously, don't get me wrong, this film then this goes hell for leather. It gets pretty damn horrendous.
Yeah, in the scene.
But
what I thought also, like, before the younger brother even kind of does it, I thought it was really interesting seeing... Because basically, before the younger brother, Riley, decides to do it, there's, like, this big, long montage of, like, all of them doing it over and over again. Like, clearly looking like they're having a great time.
Brilliantly edited.
Which I thought was really clever, because for anybody, but especially, like, somebody so much younger than everybody else, if you're going to sit there and you see everybody do this multiple times and they've been fine every single time and they're having a great time, you're going to go, oh, well, it's not going to be different for me, which yet again is so similar to drugs, because you can see a million people having the best time of their life, but it could kill you. Do you know what I mean? So, and I mean,
every parent's nightmare.
He does get the worst of it. Yes. So, but it was really effective that. And that's where it all came in, with being so stressed about it only being 90 seconds that you have to hold onto the hand, because she was then talking to her mum through him. She wasn't wanting them to cut it, you know, quickly. He ended up being in it for too long.
And because he was that much younger, they even had this sort of subcategory of thinking, well, maybe he shouldn't go in for as long.
Yeah, like even less younger, time because he's younger.
Which added that whole other idea to the substances people take at certain ages and the legality
of it.
Yeah, the idea that around this weird kind of seance-like high, there's even the rule that no more than 90 seconds, otherwise it's going to get you. Yeah. Can we just give a little shout out to the girl and the boy who own the fucking
hand? I loved them.
Weren't they great? What was her name? Zoe Tarakis is Haley, the girl.
She was great.
She was great. And Chris Alozio is the guy who kind of straps them into the chairs.
He was nuts. But I literally loved their characters. I thought they were brilliant. They were so believable.
And they had that sort of really healthy disregard. They were kind of funny about stuff. They were sort of tough. They were kind of hardcore. They were the facilitators. But then they knew when it went too far.
Yeah, that it had gone too far.
And let's just pause for a moment. We can't really illustrate how it gets when it gets the first really horrendous scene.
It's just not for the faint-hearted. Do not see, because the trailers do not give you any idea of how gory this film gets. No. The opening bit was, you know, violent, and it was a shock. But this scene, I've literally never been... Because I just didn't think the film was going to go down that route.
No, not at all.
You know, prepare yourself to see this film. It's not an easy watch. Even horror films that I've really loved in recent years, they've all had very baggy moments. Like, and don't get me wrong, there were, it had like minor flaws in this film, but there wasn't like a section that I felt was baggy. No. Like I wasn't bored in this film.
No, not at all.
I felt like it was rich throughout. Yeah.
And I thought he did a really good job. I bought into, because what I, you know, for there's a new Exorcist film coming out. The idea of possession is a difficult one to pull off, I think, and a lot of horror films try it. And I liked the way in which, in this one, she was, like It Follows, she'd been infected. So, you know, something had got a toehold or a fingerhold on her, and it wasn't leaving. And this voice, or this entity, or this sense, or this power of the other world, was luring her to an understanding of how her mum had died. And so it was trying to drive her against everyone, pull her away from everyone, you know, kill people, do this, do that. And I found that really believable. And she was sensationally strong at playing all of that, didn't she?
This was a really hard part to play. Like, and she's on the screen majority of the films. Yeah, really carried a lot. The one bit that, like the part that you felt was possibly the weakest was all the mum stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't 100% convinced by mum. When we see, you'd get visions of her, and I thought they were a little bit sort of straightforward, whereas I thought the rest of the film was quite complex. Yes, or Insidious or something. I felt like we were getting obvious horror tropes there. It was sort of,
which would be fine if it was that type of film, but the rest of it had been so
clever
and rich that it just felt. Yeah. But even then, it really was like not a big deal.
And I wondered whether they threw away a little bit. It was a great device right at the beginning, them all seeing this trend going on sort of TikTok or whatever the social media apps were. And then I felt we began to lose it a bit. I thought they were going to use the footage that was being shot, because they're all filming each other. This is the other thing. As they're all getting high and doing all the groups of kids are filming things.
Everyone's filming. Whatever.
They're all filming themselves, etc. And I kind of felt that more fun could have been had with that.
Yeah, the only time we see any like footage taken is like before the main characters even go.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
It was a very creative, it had an energy about it. It was beautifully shot. The soundtrack was sensational. Whilst it didn't kind of over kind of rinse the horror, and it didn't get to a point of ridiculousness, I did feel it just sagged a moment really, where we were just leaning on mum. But then we were building and building and building to this moment where a sort of, you know, this is a spoiler review, so if you're watching and you haven't seen, you don't want it spoiled, now we're going to spoil it, where she's running with Riley, the boy who's been injured in the wheelchair, and she's possessed and she's charging away and this is all shit's happening, and she gets hit by the car. And this was, I thought this was a brilliant moment, because she gets up.
Yeah, like her face all.
And at the point that she got up, what were you thinking? I was thinking, oh, she's so possessed, she's powerful in this world. I didn't sort of think that anything more fun.
I almost thought that, at first I thought that she'd been hit, and it kind of knocked it out of her.
Yes,
and
yes.
then she was almost like, "What the fuck just happened?"
In
you
a
know?
Daze of reality.
Yeah, and then it
absolutely.
Just didn't hit her hard enough to kill her.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what I thought.
That's what I thought. But what we discover?
So clever. Because I was also thinking, even though I was thinking that, I was going, "Oh, it's really weird that nobody's going up to her."
Mm.
Like everybody was standing and staring, and I was like, "Would you not like go up to somebody if they were walking around like after being hit?"
Mm.
But obviously.
Well, and what was so great was that the film does a...
It does a full circle.
It does a full circle, and it does it in such a neat way where you literally skip out of the cinema having been horrified, but kind of like, oh, that's so fucking clever. She's being tugged. Someone's calling her.
She's now the spirits that they talk to.
She now needs to talk to them. And so she's one of the ones that someone else, because the hand has been got rid of, or I can't remember what happened to the hand. Did they get rid of it? One of the things that I did find curious, and I didn't know if it necessarily worked, was do you remember the whole sequence where she had that relationship where she was kind of hugging the boy, the nice boy in the group?
Oh, the Christian.
The Christian. Yeah. And so she has this moment of connection and intimacy with this boy, and he's a good boy. I like that. You know, this idea of like deserving sort of victims that you always get in sort of horror films and all that kind of stuff. And so there was a kind of religiosity there.
Yeah.
I was amazed that they didn't play with that at all, did they? The idea that he was religious and she was perhaps possessed. Though there was that horrendous scene of the toe sucking.
Yeah, and I've got foot phobia, so that scene really weren't for me.
Yeah, in some regards, some people find the toe sucking scene worse than the extraordinary body horror. That happens earlier in the film.
They were both awful, but they were awful in different ways. Like the body horror bit, I was like, I just felt really sick with the toe bit.
Yeah,
I mean, I felt a bit sick in the body horror as well, but like, I was like, oh, that's just distasteful. Mm-hmm. And it's been a while since, I mean, I had it in, Boogeyman?
Oh, Boogeyman.
Where I honestly didn't want to look at points. Like I was fully like, oh my God. And also so often with horror films, like we've said, in the past, they'll be really good, but then as soon as they show whatever the like
monster is,
it's really weak. And you know, the Boogeyman was really good with that, because I was still scared when I saw the thing. Mm. But with this one, like, you would think as well that like, oh, dead people with like sanky faces and like warts, I usually go classic,
just
but they just
people.
Did it in a way that I was like, no, it's really uncomfortable. Like the woman that sucks his foot, I was like, oh, you're I don't want to look at you.
Yeah, the way it accessed dead people was really nice. And I really like the effect of when they hit the hand and they say, talk to me, and then they let me in and they're just sat opposite them. I thought
it was
really stridently shot, wasn't it? Very simple, but stridently
And the fact
shot.
That, like, you know, none of these spirits necessarily, like, are attacking any... I don't know. It was just really...
Yeah, they were lost.
Yeah, it was really original.
Yeah, really original.
And, you know, if things like that were to exist, it was believable in that sense.
Yeah.
And I'd say the only, like... horror-y bit that I really didn't buy, because I just felt like it was really weak and it was just like everything else, was that one little girl that was sat on the hospital bed that she was talking to.
Yes.
Because she was literally just a little girl with like dark circles around her eyes, and I was like, okay.
The filmmakers clearly knew they had a really strong ending, and it was about getting there, and they did it so well. And I think, you know, you can forgive a film that has sort of like, what, 5-10 minutes where perhaps it got bogged down in the sort of mum story a bit, and that was a bit weak. But what I also liked was it was all grounded in real emotion. And the lead actress, she was absolutely sensational.
No, like,
she
if
just
a film like that could
thing.
Get Oscar nominations, she would deserve an Oscar.
It's a nifty... I saw someone describe
it. And it was quite... I mean, I don't know if it actually was
short,
but it didn't feel long.
Not at all.
Which usually they do. And, like, just it made me so happy that the ending came to a full circle. It's been so long that... an ending of a horror film has made me go,
And it makes you, what's clever about it, it makes you want to watch it again, because you want to watch the processes of her transitioning to where she's now the dead person being called back. I love that. I was being reminded of other films like Flatliners from the 80s, you know, kids wanted to be taken to the very edges of existence, reduced to their heart rate, sort of being dead and cardiac and seeing the other side. I love this idea of accessing the other side, twisting on the seance thing, you know, and doing it in a different way. I mean, in the trailers, I was totally unconvinced by the hand. I thought it looked like a mannequin's hand. But
the trailers were not good.
The trailers don't
sell
it.
So angry the other day when I was in the cinema watching Oppenheimer, because the trailer came up for Talk to Me, and when I first saw it, I was like, oh God, Talk to Me, such a terrible trailer. And then I literally hear people behind me going, oh, I won't be seeing that, and I was like, no, it's so good, like, don't pay attention to the trailer, just see the film.
On that note, I thought the second trailer was much better.
Yeah, but they showed the first one when I was
and a great film. If you're into seeing anyone be kissed intensely by a dog,
oh no, that bit made me feel sick.
Sweet dog, but just a horrendous
It was not needed. Not needed.
It's weird. Yeah, it's funny. Lots of real horror in this, and then some of the most horrific moments around toe sucking and dog kissing. How weird is that? Okay, let's sum it up and score it. Go for
right,
it.
Right, so, I mean, I'm always excited for a horror film, even if I'm not completely sold by a trailer, just because I just, even bad horrors, I love to go and see in the cinema. It's always a fun experience somewhat. Yeah. However, I told Dad this, I don't know how, but like months and months and months ago, saw a clip from this film on TikTok and everybody being really excited about it and talking about it, which confused me a bit. But I remember when I saw that being like, oh, this looks really interesting. Yeah. I'm excited about that. So from that clip from forever ago, I was excited about this film. But I've literally never been so like shocked and surprised by especially a horror film in so long. Mm. And I think that's why it kind of actually kind of worked that the trailers were so disappointing, because I really went in like clueless as to what we were going to be given, and just did not at all think it was going to be as rich as it was. I love a horror film that can go for an original storyline. It's not doing the classic moving to a new house and little kids running around being creepy. Her acting was literally like, her performance was so phenomenal. It makes me so angry that something like that wouldn't get an Oscar nomination, because she literally worked her ass off in that performance.
She really did.
And everybody else, Riley, he was brilliant. I don't know how old he is, but like, he was incredible.
It's not even a photo.
Right down to his friend, like, who's not in it much at all. Like, he was so funny. He was so good.
The young actors are sensational.
Yeah, and that's what I loved about it as well, because although it was like horrific and gruesome and violent and sad, this is what I love about Australian films as well. Like, the humour, when there is the humorous bits, is just so good, because it's so dry and dark. Just love it. Soundtrack was amazing. I loved the way it looked. Like I said, I didn't really feel like there was a section that was baggy. There were just slightly flawed bits, but that's literally me like nitpicking. That's not, they're not noticeable flaws, you know. Mm. Don't see it if you're weak-hearted or if you feel, you know, sick easily, because I'm not kidding when I say it, like, doesn't hold back. It goes a step too far at points, but like, that's what makes a good horror film.
Exactly.
They've stepped the mark. Yeah, I literally thoroughly enjoyed it. I felt uneasy after, which is a horror film doing a good job as well.
Yeah, so we went and got five, guys.
Yeah. I didn't feel like I could trust anyone when it came out. I remember like Dad was getting the Five Guys order, and I was like sat on my own at the table, and like people looking at me, and I was like, what the hell is going on? So yeah, and I've never been so excited for a film to come out and for people to go and see it. Like, I've been telling all my friends, like, trust me, when that Talk To Me film comes out, you have to go and see it. So happy that it was like a good ending. Well, it was a sad ending, but you know, like, clever ending. I'm literally going to rate this film 100 out of 100.
100 out of 100! Wow. Well, I mean, I think I would agree with almost everything you said there. The couple of moments where it doesn't drop the ball at all, this film. There are just a couple of moments where it's just like, okay, that's a bit conventional. Could have been a bit scary. Could have been a bit this. Could have been a bit that. Nitpicking. It has a great energy. And I think sometimes with films, it's about that. The opening scene really gets you in the groove. This is I've seen someone describe it almost like punk filmmaking. It's got a sort of punk sensibility.
Yeah, and everyone involved had so much energy as well.
So
I think
much
that's
energy.
Why it sounds
It was really nicely edited. You know, it's a possession sort of horror film, and yet you didn't feel, which I think is often the problem with a lot of horror films, you feel the genre traditions of certain types of horror films, and as you rightly said, there weren't any of those. It twisted them, it turned them upside down.
And you know how usually with like especially possession horror films, you literally feel the crossover point where you're like, they're normal, now they're possessed.
Yes.
That's why I want to rewatch this, because you do not notice her switch, like it's so gradual and so like realistic.
Absolutely.
So they did that incredibly as well.
Did incredibly well. So, yes, it would be a really good rewatch. Watch it in a cinema where the sound system is good. Dolby Surround.
Yeah, it's really loud.
Because when it's like that, it really gets you in the groove, gets you in the mood. As you rightly said, so pleased you said, a really dry, quintessentially Australian sense of humour, Australian Kiwi sense of humour, just gives it that added little kind of nice kind of raw. It's good.
Raw.
Yeah, it's raw and it feels raw, and that's what's nice. It's filmmaking. I was getting similar vibes to when I saw Barbarian. You thought, this is inventive. Mm. This is new. This is different. This is, there's a different energy at work here. So I think this is just yet another one of those new horror films that's done really well. Only because of the quibble around the mum, I wouldn't go for 100, but I give this 97. This is a cracker. This is an absolute cracker. Brilliant Friday night go with your mates film.
No, 100%. I want to force all my friends into the cinema to go and see it.
And a horror film at its best is not directly exploring shit that's going on in the real world. Mm. And like, It Follows looked at that whole sort of sexual transmission.
Even that, it was more obvious with It Follows.
Yeah, it was. And this just felt like it was really interested in what will we do for a high?
The lengths we'll go to.
There we go. See it!